Chapter 12. The War. The war finally began 6 weeks later. Linda was happy because the beginning of the war was the first step towards the end of the war and a life with Fabrice. She was also so happy with Fabrice that she had hardly noticed what was happening. Linda had received many letters from her family since Lord Merlin and Davy's visit. Davy had told her family that she was doing war work in Paris. He had not told them about Fabrice. Aunt Sadie was pleased that Linda was helping in the war. Uncle Matthew was also happy, but he did not like his children working for foreigners. I wrote to Linda and told her about Christian. He was back in London, and Lavender was too. Christian did not seem interested in hearing about Linda, but he did not want to divorce her. He did not seem to want to marry Lavender either. Instead, he only thought about the war. Fabrice was still in Paris, and so Linda was happy. On Christmas morning, he arrived with arms full of presents. There were coats, hats, flowers, gloves, and a little dog. Suddenly, Linda felt sad. "What is it?" Fabrice said. "I was thinking of Christmas Day at home. I always miss my family at Christmas," Linda said. "When you leave Paris, will you return to your family home?" Fabrice said. "No, I'll go to my own house in London and I'll wait for you to come," Linda said. "It might be months or years." "I'll wait." When spring arrived, Linda noticed that everybody had become much more nervous. She spent her days waiting for Fabrice, sunbathing and playing with her dog. But on one beautiful, windy blue and white day in April, Linda's world changed. "You must go back to England," Fabrice said. "I have to help with the war." He had not seen her for nearly a week and arrived looking very worried. "I have a plane ticket for you," he said. "You must go this afternoon. I'll send your clothes and everything else by train. Come now. You must go." Linda picked up her dog and followed Fabrice out into the street. She did not understand that she was leaving her happy life behind her forever. And when she arrived at her house in London, she still did not understand. London seemed grey and cold. The war got worse, and people cried openly on the bus and in the streets. Every day, Linda hoped that Fabrice would appear. She sat by the telephone all day, and when it rang, and it was not Fabrice, she was very angry. I had not seen Linda since she left for Perpignan. When I finally went to visit her in London, she was unpacking her suitcase, which had just arrived from Paris. I had never seen her look so beautiful. "Where did you get that dog?" I said.
"Paris. I brought him back with me. He's the nicest dog I've ever had," Linda said.
"Have you seen Moira?" I asked.
"The Krozigs are sending her to America. I've asked to see her before she leaves," Linda replied.
"I'll never understand your relationship with Moira. You've been so awful to her," I said.
"Oh, Fanny, I know. To be honest, I always knew that I would leave Tony. So I didn't want to like Moira or for Moira to like me and then leave her."
"Poor Linda."
"I'm fine. I've had 11 months of perfect happiness with Fabrice," Linda said.
"Why don't you go to Alconley and stay with your parents?" I said.
"Maybe I'll go for a visit, but I'm waiting here for now," Linda replied.
After a few weeks, Tony Krozig and his wife, Pixie, allowed Moira to see her mother before leaving England. Moira arrived in Tony's car. She was a polite, shy little girl and was nothing like Linda or the other Radlett children.
"What a sweet little dog," Moira said. "What's his name?"
"Plon Plon," Linda replied.
"Oh, is that a French name?"
"Yes, it is. He's a French dog."
"Daddy says the French are terrible," Moira said. "He says that we should fight with the Germans and not against them."
"Well, Daddy isn't fighting with anybody at all," Linda said.
"Now listen, Moira. I'm not happy that you're running away to America. I think that it's wrong. England has given you so much. You should stay and help."
"But I'm only a child, and Pixie is taking me," Moira said, looking surprised. "I have to do what she tells me."
"Yes, of course. I know that is true. But wouldn't it be more exciting to stay?" Linda asked.
"Oh, no, I don't think so. There might be bombs," Moira said.
This was not the answer that Linda wanted to hear. Children might like or not like bombs, but she didn't understand a child who was not excited by bombs.
"I have a present for you," Linda said.
She went to her bedroom and found a watch. It was one of her wedding presents when she had married Tony, and she had never worn it. She gave it to Moira, who seemed pleased and said goodbye politely. As soon as Moira had gone, Linda rang me.
"What do your children think about bombs, Fanny?"
Linda said crossly. "Oh, they love them," I replied. "I'm sorry to say that they are also excited about seeing the German soldiers. They spend the whole day thinking of plans to catch them if they arrive here." All through those terrible months of May, June and July, Linda waited for Fabrice. She was sure that he was still alive, but she knew that thousands of Frenchmen were in German hands. Then, early on a Sunday morning in August, the telephone rang. It was Fabrice.
"Hello, hello,"
he said.
"Oh, Fabrice, I've been waiting for you for so long," Linda said happily.
"I'm in London. Can I come to your house?" Fabrice asked.
"Yes, come now."
"I'll be 5 minutes."
Linda lay on her bed. Life, she thought, is often sad. But then, good things can happen. And this is one of them. The early morning sun filled her bedroom, and she could hear ducks on the river. Then she heard the sound of a taxi outside. She ran downstairs and opened the door. Hours later, Linda made some coffee.
"Why are you here?"
Linda asked as they lay in bed.
"I came to tell you that I love you," he said.
"You never said that to me in Paris," Linda said.
"I know. I had to be careful," Fabrice said. "I've said it to so many women. This time felt different, so I didn't want to say it. But from the first moment we met, I knew that this was real, and the others were not."
"You don't need to explain. I feel the same too," Linda said.
"I must leave again tomorrow morning," Fabrice said, sadly. "And I can't come back until the war is over. Will you wait for me?"
Linda put her head on his shoulder, and they sat for a long time without talking. Early the next morning, Linda watched Fabrice while he dressed.
Do you think that we will ever live together? She asked him.
Of course, for years and years, until I'm 90, he said.
Fabrice went to the window and saw a car waiting for him.
I must go, Linda, he said,
kissing her hand. Linda went to the window and watched him leave. Then she got back into bed and cried.